We are back on Cincinnati.com. A little NFL draft recap with one of my favorites, NBC Sports. You'll see him up there. Peter King, how you doing?
Lindsay, how are you?
It's pretty crazy in Cincinnati, as you know, with that number one draft pick, the Andy Dalton news that just came out yesterday. And I'm actually going to go to that right now because it's all quarterback talk. Andy Dalton, you and I have talked about him since day one, since he actually got to Cincinnati. Where do you see Mr. Andy Dalton landing?
Well, it sounds like it's more likely in Jacksonville than anywhere else right now, and I think it'd be a good spot for him. I think personally the best spot would be New England, but I think the Patriots, and who knows, they may become a last-minute entry in this. I think he'd be a great fit with Josh McDaniels and with Bill Belichick, but I think what is good for them about Jacksonville is that Jacksonville probably has the best chance for him to be a starting quarterback again for some period of time. The only other place I see, Lindsay, that would be a really cool fit for him, in my opinion, is Pittsburgh, which would be, you know, for him, it'd be an incredible experience, obviously, but he'd also probably have to accept the fact that, you know, if he was going to be a starter, that probably wouldn't be till 21 or 22. And obviously Jacksonville, because we don't know how good Gardner Minshew is going to be, gives him a chance to start much earlier.
And just going with Andy Dalton, you know all the playoff losses and off the field, the amazing things that he's done as a human being. Why do you feel like fans were just so hard on Andy Dalton during his time here?
I think there's a couple of things that happened right there, Lindsay, at least in my opinion. I think the fact that, and again, this is probably being a little bit unfair to Andy Dalton, but Andy Dalton, in essence, was pretty much about the same quarterback for his entire career in Cincinnati. You know, he was always good. He was never spectacular. And I think the fact that, you know, and I believe it's his third year, he threw for 4,300 yards or whatever, and, you know, led Cincinnati to the playoffs and had an 11-5 record. I think that set the bar a little bit unnaturally high. Remember, that was back in, I think, 2013, if I'm not mistaken. And at that time, you looked at him, and you looked at Colin Kaepernick, you know, two quarterbacks drafted a little bit down the line. And, you know, you looked at them and you just thought, you know, there's going to be more. You know, there's going to be a higher ceiling. And, you know, with Andy, there never was. I don't think, and I looked at this yesterday when I saw this, but that was really his high watermark. I don't think he threw 25 touchdown passes again after that or something. That's close. And Andy Dalton, I think when he was drafted, everybody thought Andy Dalton's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. And that's what he was. He was never a great quarterback. But the fact is, he broke a long playoff drought for the Bengals, made the playoffs consistently, just could never get over the hump.
We'll stay with quarterbacks because I'll tell you, after that number one pick was official in Cincinnati, the Burrow hype is real. I know you're more on the NFL side, but you've talked to other people who are on the college level with Joe Burrow. What makes him different as a quarterback?
Lindsay, I think the road he's taken to this point has been really, really important for him. I asked him last week after the draft about the fact that wasn't highly recruited out of high school, even though over in Athens he was the Mr. Ohio, the football player of the year, and he wasn't highly recruited. You know, his family has a deep history at Nebraska. He never got recruited at Nebraska, not significantly, not out of high school and not when he was looking for a landing spot after Ohio State. The fact that, you know, he was kind of head-to-head for the Ohio State job in 2017, lost it, ended up getting hurt that year. And he just didn't see a path out of there to being the starting quarterback there. So transferred So every step of the way, in my opinion, even when he was this incredible high school quarterback, there was always an asterisk. Well, he's a great quarterback, but it's a small school. Yeah, he's a great quarterback, but he went to Ohio State and couldn't win the job. Well, he's a great quarterback, but if he was so great, why could he never at the highest level, like at Ohio State, win the job? So, and I think all that led to what happened at LSU and the fact that he had Joe Brady, who set tremendously high expectations for him last year, and all of which he met, I think just proved to everybody in the NFL that, you know, he's not a flash in the pan. One other thing I would say about Burrow is I noticed this. I am not a big college football watcher. But last year, I heard all about the hype. And when it was 2-3, when Alabama played LSU last year during the regular season, I think it was November or late October, I watched the game. I watched every snap of the game. The first three plays for Joe Burrow, the first three pass plays, were all downfield passes. And, you know, I think that is an indicator that he's not one of those quarterbacks who you say, well, we need to get him a few completions early. And I asked Zach Taylor about that last week, and he said, yeah, that he said, I never found when I was a quarterback, though I was never on Burrow's level, I never found that that helped me as a player. I wanted to get in and loosen up my arm and throw the ball downfield. And I think that's the way Joe Burrow does it too. And I mean, the Bengals showed a lot of confidence. Easily, they could have hung on to Andy Dalton. Now, they had every right to do so, but I think they just felt like, we want to give Andy Dalton the ball on opening day, whenever that is, however it is, and that's what they're going to do.
I know it's hard to predict the future, and when you're the number one pick, there's a lot on your shoulders, but do you feel like this guy could be a franchise quarterback for 10 to 15 years?
There's no doubt in my mind he could be. Now, you know, the road is littered with first-round quarterbacks who had great hype and great promise and who never made it. But I just don't think that's going to be Burrow. I have this feeling about him that he has a little bit of a bleep you attitude about him. And, you know, he doesn't care right now that the Bengals haven't won a playoff game in most Bengal fans' lifetimes. You know, that isn't how he approaches his job, his passion, which is, you know, what good does it do to think about that? And I think his newfound friendship with Peyton Manning probably helps him, in that Manning has basically told him that, you know, hey, you're probably going to lose a lot. And I just think I get the impression from Burrow that he just doesn't care. He really doesn't care about what has happened in the past or what the forecast is. And I think that's a great sign for him that all of the stuff that so many people on the outside care about, he just shrugs off.
I think it's really interesting when Burrow gets there, his weapons. You look at A.J. Green right now, he's fully healthy. John Ross, I know injuries are still a concern. You have Auden Tate, Tyler Boyd, Gio and Joe Mixon, and then the new receiver in T. Higgins. What difference does that make when Joe Burrow comes in and he has this rookie wide receiver when we're dealing with all these virtual offseason workouts?
You know, it's going to be very odd and very hard for the Bengals. What if the NFL says that, okay, there's no off-season program, which I think everybody thinks that the off-season program is all just going to be scrubbed. What if the NFL says no training camp and no preseason games, no training camp till August 20th? I don't just invent a date there. But – well, I think the really hard thing for Joe Burrow will be if the Bengals report to training camp 3 weeks before the first game, and that's the first time he ever meets or throws to A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. Now, now, there's no rule against one or all of those guys to meet – you know, to meet Joe Burrow in Clemson, South Carolina, or Atlanta, Georgia, or Athens, Ohio, or whatever. I mean, I've said that I think it's pretty obvious that at some point in this offseason, Tom Brady is going to bring his receivers in Tampa to his place out in the middle of nowhere in Montana, where in front of his cabin slash, you know, rustic home. And man, we should all have such a cabin. I've actually been there. It's ridiculous. But and Brady every year would bring the Patriots receivers up there for a couple of weeks in the off season to throw to. And he has a pristine field out in front, not the size of a football field, but plenty big to throw to his receivers. And so my feeling is that Zach Taylor at some point is going to encourage Burrow to go to some sort of central location. And I have no idea. Is T. Higgins in Clemson, South Carolina now? Is A.J. Green? Where is he? Where are those people? And at some point, maybe in June, to go to a central location and for a week just get together and throw and catch and get to know each other a little bit. But again, that's just a guess on my part. But I think the chemistry you normally build in an offseason for a rookie quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback you expect to start, that's not going to happen this year the same way.
I'll stick with offseason right now. Were you impressed with the money that Zach Taylor and the Bengals were able to spend? Do you think that Zach Taylor and Duke Tobin are getting a little more control with the front office when it comes to the offseason and what they were able to do?
I mean, there's no question that it was impressive to see what they did in the offseason. You know, the biggest thing when I look at the Bengals, you know, over the years, you know, and obviously I've got history with the Bengals. I covered them in 1984 when Sam Weich was a rookie coach, and, you know, I knew Mike Brown quite well and all that. And so I think the one thing that in my belief is that, you know, the Bengals are cheap, you know, motto or cliche about them. I don't ever view them as having been overly cheap. Okay. I view them as being not very aggressive in some off seasons, you know, with their free agency plan. And this year, you know, they've done a lot. I really liked the Von Bell pickup. There's no question in my mind that he's a huge boost for the secondary, like back in center field. And don't forget, Lindsay, the one thing that I think we all sort of forget right now is that, you know, Jonah Williams, you know, was lost for the season, and he was whatever, the 10th or 11th pick last year. And, you know, he's going to come back and theoretically be an impact player. And I'm sure they hope that's going to be at left tackle. So I think they're going to be a better team, and forget Joe Burrow, you know, but they're going to be a better team, you know, not just at the quarterback position. But look, you know, T. Higgins was a great acquisition where he was picked. I think it's great that they now probably for the rest of his career are going to have Geno Atkins. And I think Geno Atkins has a really, really good guy next to him for probably 500 snaps in DJ Reader. I think the acquisitions in the offseason it will not surprise me if the Bengals win 8 or 9 games. They're not going to be drafted at the top of the draft next year.
That is their goal. And before you leave, I have one more quick question because you mentioned history. Every single time I talk to you, I love an old Bengals story. Do you have a former Sam Weich, one with Mike Brown, one more quick Bengals story that you remember that you can share?
Well, probably, you know, in that first year when Sam Weich was the coach, I found it very, very interesting that he sort of imparted and wanted everybody on his team to be involved in the formation of the offense. If you had a good play, bring it to Sam. And I think it was maybe in 88 or 89, you know, when Boomer Esiason was playing at his MVP level, they basically were in a team meeting one day, an offensive meeting one day, and Sam Weich said that he wanted to name this play that had the the number 61 in it. He wanted to name it Mantle, okay? And Boomer said, well, wait a second. Why are you naming this Mantle in a pass play with 61? He goes, oh, you know, the home run record. And Boomer goes, Sam, Mickey Mantle didn't set the home run record. That was Roger Maris. And White said, hey, that's okay. It's still going to be 61 and Mantle, because none of these guys would ever have heard of Roger Maris. They won't remember. And so Boomer said that's what it was like. It was all, you know, Sam once told me that, you know, he had an incredible memory. And Sam once told me that, in essence, if for people of a certain age, they might remember a basketball player named Jerry Lucas. He went to Ohio State, ended up having a really good NBA career. And when he got out of basketball, he started training people how to use their minds better. And one of the things that he did was associate a number with a word. So, like, you know, if you asked me to associate a play with Mickey Mantle in it, I would say it would have to have the number 7, you know, because he was probably the most famous number 7 in baseball history. But Sam believed in that. He believed in teaching so that when you had a term in there, you would then remember exactly what the play was, because that term would remind you of something. And so I just always thought that even though Sam has a kind of a star-crossed legacy, I think he was, I mean, in all the years I've covered football, far and away is the most interesting person I ever covered in all ways. But I love the fact that he made learning fun. And I think the guys on his team and in his locker room really appreciated that.
Well, we miss him. And Peter, I can't thank you enough. I love when you can talk a little NFL with me. I'm probably going to bring you back when we get regular season here, but thank you again.
Hey, sounds great, Lindsay. Call anytime.
Thanks, Peter.